Back together again, you and I chatting it up on Tuesday, November 5th, Election Day 2024, right here on Connecticut Today, where I reminded listeners right off the top that the U.S. is strong enough to survive any occasional political upheaval, no matter how contentious it may be. Connecticut Inside Investigator reporter Mark Fitch dropped by to talk about the Fairfield County big money backer of an Election Day ballot question supporting no excuse absentee ballots in the state. CBS News correspondent Ali Novello joined us from the campaign trail in Pennsylvania, while Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio stopped by with her weekly update, this time around on a surprising memo sent out by a major Connecticut insurance firm.
Is there something going on today? Did I miss? Is there a big story or something going on today? Thank God this is almost over. And this is coming from a guy who lives, eats, breathes, and drinks this stuff for a profession. But my God, enough. I know we'll all start tomorrow. What's going to happen? Listen, and we have a lot of open phones today. Couple of guests coming up. Let me start with this again, because I feel I have to, because some of the stuff I'm hearing is mind-numbingly stupid. Okay? Relax. Okay? Come on. Let's do a little exercise here. You ready? Ready? Going to do the deep cleansing breath. Ready? Breathe in. Hold it. And breathe out. Breathe in. Hold it. Hold it. My lips are turning blue, but I'm going to hold it and breathe out. See that? See what we just did there? We realize life will go on, no matter what happens later today, tonight, tomorrow, or the next day. And I'm dead serious about this. By the way, good to have you with us. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And I will say this again, because I'm hearing idiots on both sides of the aisle here, mainly in the national media. Listen to me very carefully. If Trump wins, we're not becoming Nazi Germany. We're not becoming fascist Italy. Relax. There's a reason Congress is there. There's a reason the Joint Chiefs are there. There's a reason the Supreme Court is there. There's a reason the 25th Amendment is there. Likewise, if Kamala Harris wins, forgive me, relax, take a breath. She's not going to make the nation crumble. She's not going to turn us into Venezuela or Cuba or any sort of left-wing dictatorship. It's not going to happen.
Well, it happens in other countries, Paul.
No, it doesn't. And usually when it does, there are no built-in safeguards. So again, I begin this show like I began yesterday's show and shows last week when I saw the requisite amount of stupidity and idiocy. Do you have no faith in this country? Honestly, I'm asking that seriously and rhetorically. Do you have no faith in this country? Because like I said, like I've been saying, 85 to 90% of the people can get along with each other. It's the 5 or 10% on the far right and the 5 or 10% on the far left who are sucking up all the usable oxygen in the room. You people out there watch only one or two cable news channels because it verifies your belief. It's your echo chamber. I'm not saying you can't be concerned. I'm not saying we shouldn't debate issues. Lord knows we do that every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 on this program. But some of the stuff I'm seeing and hearing, come on. Let me ask you something. If Kamala Harris wins tonight, you off from work tomorrow? Is your job suddenly going to be eliminated? If Donald Trump wins tomorrow, does that mean you get a week's free vacation? Does that instantly mean gas prices are going to come down? Those are rhetorical questions. You know what the answers are. Now, yes, there are long-term implications for whatever direction a chief executive sets here. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. But before we go to our first break, here's something I want you to remember here. And you can chime in on this. You're going to take a lot of calls today. Whatever's on your mind, what you saw at your local polling place today, 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. You know whose fault, if you want to even use that word, it's going to be if and when Mr. Trump is elected again or if Ms. Harris ascends to the presidency tonight? You know who's going to cause that? Voters. There's no grand scheme here. There's no grand election rigging scheme unless you show me verifiable under sworn oath of perjury or the penalty of perjury under sworn oath. Get out of your echo chambers and understand there are people maybe sitting next to you right now at work or in your kitchen or in your garage. There are people who think differently than you do. I know. How can they possibly think that way? You know what? It's none of your business. On this election day, 2024, Tuesday, the 5th of November, did you vote yet? Hope you did. If you did, fine. If you didn't and don't want to, listen, I'm not going to twist your arm to vote. I decided that. You know that from listening to me long enough on these shows. If you don't want to vote, I'm not going to beg you to vote. I'd rather have somebody who's really engaged, somebody who's proud of it, somebody who really looks forward to it, somebody who has made a critical decision, or even if you flipped a coin, the key thing is here, if you want to vote, you voted. I'm not going to sit there and beg and genuflect and say, please vote. I don't care. In fact, if you are so disconnected that heading into election day, you don't want to vote or you didn't want to vote earlier today, but thank God. Thank God. Well, what do you mean by that, Paul? It's exactly what I mean. You can't be flip about this. Now, back to what I was saying. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Everybody needs to calm down. And I know it sounds like a cracked record here when I say that, but I can't say that enough. Some of the stuff I'm seeing and hearing on national networks, and it's because they have to fill time. You understand, between regular news reports, they have a bunch of people sitting around a table, either on the left, on the right, going, bah, 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 and Trump, bah, 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 and Harris, bah, 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 bah. Oh, my God. It is insufferable. It is insufferable, and it just feeds the ridiculous gas bags who are out there saying, well, we're on the way to being a third world country. No, we're not a third world country. Stop that. Yeah, we should be a third world country with the standard of living we have, with 340 million people here. And we're not on the way to being a fascist dictatorship either. We're not. We're absolutely not. Now, again, one thing you have to, I'm begging you to remember as we head into the latter part of this afternoon, early tonight. Well, first things first, nobody knows anything now. So when anybody comes on right now, if, you know, you hear something on a national newscast or watching something, well, you know, we're getting an indication. No, you're not. You know what this is going to be like for the next, the polls close in some areas 3 to 4 hours. You know what this is like? This is the political equivalent of all these blowhard talking heads who, leading up to the NFL draft, this guy's a can't-miss prospect and a guy can't read the playbook. You know what I mean? You hear that every year. That's why I guess, well, who do you think's going to be good in the pro draft? I have no idea. They're not any good until they get on the field. So we're going to be subjected for the next 2 or 3 hours. A lot of, this could be happening. No, this is called filler. This is called making media sausage. So, number one, none of these people saying anything. Now, I'm not talking about the reporters on these channels. They're all good. But the paid talking heads, well, if you have a Republican or a Democrat out, what are they going to say? Yeah, I think Trump's going to get his rear end kicked or Kamala's done. What do you think they're going to say for the next 4, 5, 6 hours until they get some real numbers? But here's the thing you really have to remember. unless the polls are really wrong, and I don't know, they might be, you know, people might be lying. I have a couple of interesting numbers we're going to toss around in the next segment. But unless the polls are really, really, really wrong, meaning that all these trends of being a 50-50 country are wrong, which there really are no outliers here. You have to understand something. And here's what I want you to understand. That no matter who wins, if it's Trump in a landslide, or it's Trump narrowly, or it's Kamala Harris squeaking by narrowly, or it's Kamala Harris in a landslide, understand. And it probably, you probably won't have a landslide here. You could have a 51-49 or 50.5-49.5. So before you start pillorying people and want to put them up on, you know, you want to have them drawn and quartered and, you know, put them up on a stake somewhere because they voted for the person you don't like, understand something. The fact that the numbers are probably going to come out the way they are, it basically means in your neighborhood or in your place of worship or in your workplace or in your family, every other person doesn't agree with you. Again, unless the numbers are really off, it's not like Kamala Harris or Donald Trump is a fringe candidate here. These are the standard bearers of the two main American political parties. Yes, technically there's a Green Party candidate and there's a Libertarian Party candidate. And if you go down the line, there are dozens of candidates who file papers just to say they're running. They'll get zero votes. But just be careful over the next few days to say, my dumb brother-in-law voted for Trump. Or my stupid our sister-in-law. Of course, she's a Harris voter. That's what we have to stay away from. You know why? Because I found this today. I was just looking at stuff online to share with you folks. Very simple here. The Constitution establishes a federal democratic republic of government. That is, we have an indivisible union of 50 sovereign states. It's a democracy because the people govern themselves. Did you hear that? It's a democracy because the people govern themselves. It is representative because people choose elected officials by a free and secret ballot. It is a republic because the government derives its power from the people. Nobody, either in a state legislative race or in a national race for Congress or the White House, nobody is forcing you to vote for them. Well, I have to vote for Harris or I have to vote for Trump. No, you don't. There's no reason you have to do that. The ultimate power is not in its purest form with the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. The ultimate power is in you and I. People that have voted already today, like I did, and I'm sure many of you did, or people that are going to vote maybe later on the way home or before you go in tonight for your third shift or whatever. So understand something. This is probably going to be a 50-50 election. So understand that if, you know, Ms. Harris wins and you voted for her or didn't, and if Mr. Trump wins and you voted for him or didn't, understand that it's a 50-50 country. And before you start yelling and screaming at somebody in your family and somebody on your street block there or somebody in your church, or somebody in your place of employment, or looking down your nose at them, try and understand. They voted the way they did for a reason. That might be, when you come right down to it, none of your business. Now, what does this portend for the future? No matter who wins, that we will talk about. Love to hear from you. You think I'm off base here? You think that this whole thing is rigged? Or are you like me? Have you just had enough of the dumb vitriol. Doesn't mean you don't campaign hard. Doesn't mean you don't play your politics like two NFL teams do on Sunday or Monday or Thursday or whatever, and then they shake hands afterwards. And we love to have this gentleman on from time to time, apropos that we do it today, because a lot of you, like me, we saw that ballot question here, and I'm going to be very careful here. I've given you my feelings on this. We're not here to tell you how to vote on it, but it's this ballot question that, in a sense, would allow the General Assembly to, from the voters, get the keys to the car and start a process, which would be no excuse absentee balloting down the road. It may take several years. And our buddy, our pal Mark Fitch is here from the Connecticut Inside Investigator. Go to insideinvestigator.org and you'll see the story from Mark. Connecticut billionaire bets on no excuse absentee voting. Mark, good afternoon. Great to have you here on this busy election day. Who is the sugar daddy behind this, if you will, the guy you're writing about here?
Oh, sure. It's good to be on, Paul. Happy election day.
Yeah.
And we're writing about Stephen Mandel Jr. He's the founder of Lone Pine Capital, hedge fund out of Greenwich, and a major Democrat donor. Stephen Mandel and his wife Susan hosted President Joe Biden at their home for one of those super expensive fundraisers. They have combined put millions into nationwide races, and here in Connecticut they've put some pretty big dollars behind the absentee ballot referendum question too. So it was just an interesting thing that I kind of came across when looking at independent expenditures that, somebody would be putting this much money into this ballot question. So thought it was worthy of taking a deeper look.
Yeah, because, Mark, kudos to you. I don't know if Hearst or anybody else may have looked into this, and we're not here. Certainly I'm not, and I know you're not with your reputation. We're not suggesting anything underhanded here, but it is interesting that somebody, as happens on the Republican side sometimes, somebody with deep pockets would be very much behind something that could alter the landscape of politics, not just nationally, but here in Connecticut as well.
Yeah, and this comes through. So Stephen Mandel and his wife are both board members of what's called the Connecticut Project, and the Connecticut Project is a 501c3 nonprofit, and then they also have a 501c4, which can actually put money into political races. So they have the 501c3 and the 501c4. Stephen sits on the board of the C3. Susan sits on the board of the C4. And, it's called the Connecticut Project Action Fund. And so they're very involved in fundraising and getting money into these kind of issues and campaigns and things like that. And, Stephen and his wife, Susan, they each put $215,000 into this single organization, the single independent expenditure organization, to get the absentee ballot measure passed. And then that wasn't all. So it was about $430,000 combined. And then the Connecticut Project Action Fund, the C4 part, put in about another $360,000. So in general, you ended up with almost $800,000 that's being used to try to get people to vote yes on this referendum question.
Yeah, and finally, Mark, if they vote yes, I have been stressing this with my listeners. If they vote yes on this today, I guess they should know they're not approving necessarily no excuse absentee balloting. They're just, it's kind of a keys to the car scenario, right? So that would give the imprimatur or the okay to the General Assembly to start a process, correct? That could take several years if it's dragged out enough.
I mean, it could, but I doubt it will. I mean, the last referendum question we had was early voting, which we now have. That passed in, I believe it was 2022, and by 2023, the legislature had passed an early voting law. So, we've been able to vote in this election for the past 2 weeks. I doubt it would take very long. Obviously, one of the things that they're going to run into, and this could just, be difficult for the question questions passage in general, is security, right? I mean, we all saw the Bridgeport tapes where absentee ballots were being stuffed into these boxes.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it is approved by voters, and obviously, you know, Republicans would be trying to make sure there's a lot of security measures involved there. And I assume Democrats would as well. But it's been one of those kind of divisive issues in the legislature since that Bridgeport scandal broke.
Mark Fitch with a busy day ahead of Mark. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Check it out, folks, at insideinvestigator.org. Mark, thanks, and we'll chat down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, there you go. All right, unlike me, who just gets to sit here behind a nice, warm board of electronics and sit here and laugh and joke with producer, engineer, and news guy Chris and chat with you folks, some folks in my business are hustling it today. It's a crazy day. A lot of us live for Election Day, and we've talked with this person a few times. Got to give it one more go-around. Ali Novello, CBS News correspondent. Ali, hi. It's Paul again here at WICC. How are you, and where are you? Who are you covering these days?
Hi, Paul. I'm doing well. I'm here in Pittsburgh. I've been, you know, covering all the campaigns as they come through the area. So last night I saw Harris in Pittsburgh. The night before I saw Trump in Lancaster. So I've kind of been all over Pennsylvania, but mostly in Pittsburgh. How are you doing?
I'm good. So what is the sense there, Ali? You know, I'm reading and hearing some outlets saying, well, you know, not picking Josh Shapiro, it may come back to bite the campaign. Is there any talk of that you're hearing either on the record or off the record? What's going on in PA?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's honestly still really hard to tell. What I can tell you right now is that we've been seeing a crazy turnout across the state. There have been some very long lines, and we have seen an uptick in the return of mail-in ballots, significantly more than in 2020 so far. In terms of enthusiasm and participation, it's clearly there. It's just whether or not these voters end up turning out for Trump or Harris. And, you know, I've had the chance to talk to some of these voters as they make their way out of the polls throughout the day. And even then, it's been a pretty equal mixture. I mean, of voters that I've just randomly pulled aside. You know, I'll get 50-50 between those who voted for Trump and Harris. So it is really hard to tell at this point. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's going to take maybe a couple more days until we really know which way Pennsylvania goes.
Yeah, Ali, and I also know that there are some in the Harris campaign that have been very vocal, and you may have heard this on or off the record, saying, hey, they've got to hit a certain number or a certain target, or at least be in the neighborhood with voters in and about the Philadelphia area to end up winning the state. Is that what you're hearing as well, too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just kind of having conversations with Harris folks. Let's talk about Bucks County, for example. You know, that's a bellwether for the suburbs. You know, I'm told by some of the Democratic county chairs that there has been very high turnout there. In Cambria County, for example, that's another county that Dems have been keeping an eye on. it's an example of rural outreach in the ground if Dems get more than 30% of the support there. So in Allegheny as well, that's also just as important as Philadelphia this time around. So there's definitely a lot of attention on each of the counties across the Commonwealth. Depending on how well Harris does, that could be a really good indicator of how she performs throughout Pennsylvania. But, you know, at this time, again, it is really difficult to tell.
And finally, Ali, last time we talked, or one of the times we talked, you were pretty impressed with the breakfast pierogies. Are those still high on your list there, or has anything else taken that over?
That's a great question. I've been frequenting some Uzbekistan restaurants.
Really?
Yeah. No, there's a spot pretty close to me in the Crafton area that I've honestly been going to almost every day, and I've been eating out a lot because I have no time to cook.
Of course.
But I'm slowly exploring different foods in Pittsburgh, and it's been fun.
Ali, thank you. Ali Novello, CBS News. Ali, we'll chat down the road. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Paul.
Appreciate that, Ali Novello. Yeah, she's been in PA a long time. Megan Portfolio here. Are you on edge, Ms. Portfolio, or are you like me and just telling everybody to calm the freak down?
Oh, my God, the drama. I want to just be focused on, like, I feel like it's 10 o'clock right now because I'm looking out my window and it's dark and I want to go to bed. My dog hasn't figured out that I had to turn the clock back, so he's been getting me up super early.
Yeah, yeah. So did you vote today?
Oh, of course. I'm old school. You know, I like to go.
Too.
I like to
me
touch
too.
The ballot, talk to the, you know, the pollsters.
Yeah.
The
how many times did you vote? Just once or multiple times?
Only once. I did it appropriately. There was an issue with the machine. It wasn't taking my ballot.
Oh, really?
So no. This is not a conspiracy. They took my old ballot, wrote all over it so it would be used again, and gave me another one, and that one went in just fine.
Okay. Isn't it amazing, though, in Connecticut? And listen, I understand things move at a snail's pace here, but you know, they say, well, some of the tabulators are 20 years old, and why are we, and I know you and I talked about this, they had to bond the money out, they wouldn't just spend it for new machines, but hey, it should be around next time. And why isn't it around this time? We know the answer. I'm being rhetorical here.
No, I'm like, you know the answer.
20-year-old tabulators, what is up here? I'm sorry, I just had a vent. Oh,
I'm just going to be happy not to get, because of my job, I sign up for all kinds of emails.
Me too.
And one of the campaigns was like, and I would send emails back, like, don't email me at 6 a.m. asking me to chip into your dopey campaign because you just woke me up and now I'm annoyed.
Well, you've got to turn the chimes off like I do on my phone. But your column.
My parents are older, so I like to keep it on.
Yeah, your column today, the Hartford Portfolio, oddly enough, you're talking about, I guess, a major state insurance company is telling some of its clients or policyholders or people saying, hey, here's what you do in case of civil unrest in the campaign here. So what's up with that?
Yeah, someone had forwarded me a screenshot of the email they got, and I've never seen anything like this before. The insurance company are just telling businesses, hey, just in case, and you know, not all demonstrations are bad. Most of them are peaceful, but there's a chance that all hell is going to break loose. Oh. And to secure your property, and if you got, you know, if you're a retailer, if you got valuable inventory, and you might want to tie it down or, you know, bring it home. And it's like, I've never seen anything like this. I'm like, you go vote, you guy or your girl wins or loses, and then, you know, you move on, and then if your team didn't win, then, you know, you need to pay attention. Or even if they did win, you still got to pay attention. There's still work to do. Make sure they're doing things appropriately and harass them. And, you know, don't be running down the street, blocking highways, you know, things on fire. It's crazy. It's just so much drama. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and we saw that a couple of years ago with the protests. Well, you know, I never quite understood that. Now, again, I guess there are people out there in the social justice area saying, well, protest is good. Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with protesting, but burning down neighborhoods, like stealing stuff, like, you know, the election doesn't go your way or your sports team wins or loses. Megan, I'm just an old white suburban guy. I don't know. Maybe that's
it. I mean, fortunately, the activist community in our state, they're mostly respectful. We did have some issues with people shutting down the highways, which I'm not a big fan of.
No.
Because, you know, people got places to go. People got to go to work. People have emergencies. So I was not a big fan of that. And then, obviously, when UConn wins, let's just tear up the campus because, you know, that's what we do. But other than that, you know, we're mostly, you know, we're pretty civil here in Connecticut. And I hope that continues. I mean, there's been some shenanigans around the country so far. Like in Georgia, there's been a couple bomb threats, and some guy apparently was at the Capitol and he smelled like gasoline or some kind of fuel. So I'm like, there's a couple shenanigans going on out there, but I have faith in my fellow nutmeggers. Gosh, I hate that word, but
really?
My fellow nutmeggers.
You're not a big nutmegger fan, is that?
No, I can't stand it. It just seems so weird. Because other states have like New Yorkers, like that sounds cool.
Yeah,
it just sounds so dopey. I never liked it. And my editor every once in a while will adjust my column and put nutmegger, and I had to, you know, tell him do not change my wording to nutmegger ever.
Wow. Is that what they're calling it now, adjusting a column? Because when I was writing sports in New Haven and Danbury, my editor would say, where'd you come up with this word? He never used the word. He smiled at me. He dropped a few expletives, but he never used the term adjusting my column or my headline.
Oh,
he never did.
I tease him about that because every once in a while, if I get a little too sarcastic or obnoxious, he's like, well, you can't really say that. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, there you go. Finally, before we let you go, I I'm wondering, Megan and Megan Portfolios here, Hartford Portfolio, Yankee Institute, check it out. I'm wondering if we're going to see any real, because so many seats are unopposed, but anything earth-shattering, you know, coming out of the General Assembly. I mean, you know, whether it's going to change margins there, whether it'll be tougher or impossible or easier to override a veto from Lamont. You know, these things are interesting. There's a rumor that, you know, Fairfield County could become a little more blue, which is interesting. Have you heard anything on that or any thoughts on that?
I mean, I've just heard the same stuff you have. You know, there are a few races that there might be some upsets. And
yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I mean, people with their polls, you know, they're not always right. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I mean, I'd like to see some balance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not trying to advocate for one side or the other, but I mean, we don't really have any balance now. So, I mean, I would like to see, you know, at least in the Senate, some balance, just so we have, you know, more people represented at, you know, in Hartford than, you know, just like one party control. So fingers crossed on that. But I mean, I'm going to be watching it all night. Hopefully the, you know, nothing earth shattering happens,
yeah.
And everyone can just do the counts and we can know, and then I can move on, because I need to know what's going to happen in the session. And
okay.
I really can't judge what's going to happen until I know who's won. And then I can look and see, you know, what their platforms were, so
have
I can
you,
be prepared for all the bad stuff that is, you know, long sessions coming. So the bad,
that's
the
right.
real bad stuff.
That's right. Here comes the long session where all the greasy stuff is. So have you made a determination yet here at 5:24 and 50 seconds about what your beverage and food of choice will be tonight as you're watching the national returns?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't decided. I think I have some leftover pork. It's not that sexy, but it's delicious. And as for drinking, I'll probably stay sober because I have to work in the morning. So,
okay.
And I'm old and I don't recover like I used to in my 30s.
The recovery is not quite the same as we were in our 20s. Is that what you
know?
No. All right, Megan Portfolio, check out the Hartford Portfolio, the Yankee Institute. Megan, enjoy the evening. Stay sober, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right, have a good week. Bye.
All right, thanks.